The Vital Statistics of Mental Health with psychologist David Abramson is brought to you by the High FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.
David Abramson, a very good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Howard. How are you this morning?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. I really am good. You know what? The music is good. It's the 3rd of December already. We've survived, at least physically, all the way through to December. You know, there's something, whereas not everybody else has, but so it's definitely something positive, right?
Absolutely. We have to look on the bright side.
Exactly. Exactly right. But that said, the numbers are going up. It is scary. Yeah. We've got that. I've certainly got that little bit of anxiety that I'm feeling today, especially being a massive hypochondriac. And I worry because we are going on a holiday. Yeah. People desperately need a holiday. It doesn't mean that we can throw caution away. It's difficult because we want to give our kids a break. We need a break. We almost want to be free of what epitomized the year, but we're not going to be able to be, are we?
No. And I think for me, you're not being a hypochondriac. I think for me, there's a reality to the situation. And normally I think at the end of the year, we all kind of breathe this collective sigh of relief and we go on holiday and we can just do what we need to do, you know, and as we know, it's been a very, very difficult year. I mean, it's just been and we've spoken about this. Everyone understands and they've had their own experience with COVID, be it financial, psychological, physical, and the losses that we've spoken about. It's been a terrible year. And of all years, this is the year where we'd want to just kind of just go on holiday or just stay home and take a break.
If we had hair, let our hair down. That sort of thing.
Okay, we can. We'll talk about that. Mm. We'll talk about that after the show.
Okay.
A cup of coffee.
Fine,
at a distance. But I think for me, absolutely. So of all years, I think people really want to relax. And I think, and just as you say, let their hair down. But, we are in a situation, as you've said, where, and as we've seen overseas, that there's these second and third waves. That are occurring, and there's no question that we need to look after ourselves from a physical point of view, you know, the social distancing and the masks, but we've clearly seen, and particularly with our children and teens, that we need to look after them from a psychological point of view. And we've seen as professionals, I think when children and teens went back to school and there was much more face-to-face teaching, that their psychological situation improved. So there's no doubt that children need to socialize, teens need to socialize for their psychological well-being. But the reality is that the COVID-19 pandemic is still with us, and I think we are going into holidays where we are going to want our children, even ourselves, to socialize to some degree. But I think for me, we need to be so careful about how we manage ourselves, of course, because remember, our children always look to us to be the example. So if we're socializing in inappropriate ways, we really, got very little leg to stand on. But how we are going to manage the balance between allowing our children to be physically safe and psychologically safe, but allowing them to socialize, allowing them to go out and do what they need to do to keep their psychological health intact. And I think it's going to be a very difficult balance for many people.
I think the first thing that you've said, which is so important, is for your kids at least model the correct behavior. If you're going out and partying with friends or dropping all caution, then you certainly can't expect anything different from your kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, when we think about parenting, this is going to be, go to the heart of parenting. I think there's two things, as we've said, one, which is always so important, is setting the example. And two other things is going to be really helping your child, to delay gratification. And we know that delaying gratification is, especially these days with everything that is so instant and so immediate in, you know, in its response when we think about, the way we communicate social media, you know, that, you know, this is going to be very tough for us as parents to help our children to delay gratification and really, as I say, find a balance between.
Look, David, 12 months is very, very delayed in terms of gratification.
Let's be fair. No, absolutely. But I do think for me, when I say delayed gratification, to explain to our children and our teens, to try and work with them like, you know, as a team, that's always the best way to go. Mm. But in the end, needing to set those limits, that actually this is, that obviously you need to socialize. Obviously we need to try and find a way for this to work. So when I say delayed gratification, I'm not saying, that it should be, that they can't go out at all, you know, that they cannot eat that, you know, whenever I think of, delayed gratification, I think of, you know, Professor Walter Mischel in the marshmallow test. Mm, it's not about not eating the marshmallow. It's about understanding that you can have some of the marshmallow, but please wait, because in the new year, you can have as many marshmallows as you want. You know, to use that, you know, example, because, I think we are going to pay a huge price. Our kids, we are, if we don't, help them and help ourselves to delay the gratification. And what I mean by the delayed gratification is exactly what we were talking about, wanting just to let go, that desperate need to let go, but knowing that if we, gratify ourselves in this way, we are going to very likely pay a very big price in the new year.
So what is the message, and how are we meant to allow some form of how do we get the balance right, I guess, is the question.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, and again, I always say this, and people sometimes roll their eyes and say, like, you know, we need to, you know, introduce the old school type of parenting where we just set limits and we tell them this is the way it's going to be and there's no discussion. We know that doesn't work, especially with teenagers.
I don't know. I've been trying it lately. It's actually not a bad thing, you know.
yes.
Maybe.
Well, you obviously got very compliant children. How
not at
doing
all.
Something right?
Not at all. I said that's what I'm saying. I didn't say that they ultimately are listening.
No, 100%. But I think for me, ultimately, it is, yes, in the end, about setting the limits. It is about saying, listen, there is a line in the sand. But it is about communicating with them and letting them know how difficult this has been, how you realize that they do need to socialize. And how do we go about this? How do we go about this together as a team to make sure that they get enough of that, that socializing, of that interaction with their peers without as much as possible jeopardizing their health? So it really needs to be collaborative. But clearly, you know, for the younger children, you know, clearly you can set limits a little bit more easily. But when it comes to the teens, absolutely, it needs to be more collaborative because, you know, bar following around, you know, 24/7, which we can't do, you know, they really, really cannot be controlled, you know, completely. So there needs to be a degree of trust.
It sounds right, except the reality is, can there ever really be? I mean, if older teenagers, and I'm talking about 17, 18, let's say from 17 to 19, 16 to 19, are going to go out with their friends, they're going to give you all the assurances that you want to hear. But in reality, when they're sitting around, do you think that they are going to be that COVID compliant? I mean, I'd like to think so. Mm-hmm. I'm just very skeptical, having had five of these. And it's very hard to even blame them because it's been so hard and because we know that they need some form of outlet. What is a reasonable expectation?
No, absolutely. I think that's the point, is that no one is saying that this has not been difficult. This has been excruciating for so many teenagers. I mean, and youngsters. I mean, this lack of social interaction, it's been terrible. But I do think for me, you know, that's the point, is that when they do go out, if you have kind of built and have communicated why this is so important, you know, that actually, if you catch COVID and you give it to me, and I give it to, you know, to someone else who has a comorbidity or even to someone who doesn't, there's a possibility that person can die. So this is about life and death. and really talking to them about just for this period of time. This is not going to last forever, it seems, you know, with the vaccine coming out, that this is just temporary. And this is one December where you're asking them not to not see their friends, but you're asking them to do the basics. You're asking them to try and social distance when you see your friends. You're asking them to wear masks and do the things that those things that are within their control, because actually it's not just about like a rule that you want to keep, and then if you don't, you'll be in trouble. There's actually much bigger implications for this, and I think for me that's the appeal. And we can only appeal to them, Howard. You're absolutely right. We cannot enforce it and lock them up for the December holidays. It's completely counterproductive and impossible. So really, we can only do what we can and appeal to them. And really, as you say, hope that our message comes across in a way that is not seen as an instruction and an attempt to control, but it's a message to appeal to them that again this is not going to last forever, and that they.
I was just going to say, David, before you do that, because you were sort of you've made some very good points along the way. Parents listening who need to have the conversation with their children, take us through that.
Absolutely, I think for me that's the point, is that before the holidays is to sit down with them, literally.
Number one, before the holidays, okay.
Before the holidays, and talk about what their expectation is, you know. But I think also very importantly, and I know again, you know, it's so important, and people, I say, it's, you know, sometimes roll their eyes, to empathize with them, to show that you understand what they are going through, to understand that they have been through a terrible year, especially these matrix, you know. But across the board, sitting down with them and empathizing with them and telling them how and showing them that you understand how difficult this has been for them and how caught you are at the moment, you know, as a parent, how you would love them just to set them free. You would love nothing more than that, for them just to go and have fun, but that you are caught because there's obviously the pandemic and the concern for their health, for your own health and for other people's health. And I think for me, then it's about saying, what can we do to find a middle ground? What can we do to find a solution? What can we agree upon? Because, and again, I think very clearly, I have no problem saying to teenagers, you cannot be controlled. You are adults in many ways, and no one can force you to do things if you don't want to do them. So how can we work like a team? How can we protect you? How can we protect ourselves and the people around us? And please, and again, I think very important, please know that this is not going to be every holiday. This is just going to be for this holiday. And so I'm asking for us to work together. So it's really about appealing to being, you know, to have this collaborative relationship, this collaborative understanding. And yes, and it might be that you need to let go a little bit of what you expected, you know, like maybe you only wanted three friends to come over to the house, or so maybe they're going to say, but you know, Dad, I can't leave those two other people out, you know, for an example. So it's about really trying to, you know, show them that you are trying to be flexible, that you're not, your mission is that you didn't wake up in the morning and say, how am I going to spoil my son or daughter's holiday?
Yeah, I think this is such a valuable and practical advice, is have the conversation before you go on holiday, so that at least you've got a reference point, and that even when this is happening on holiday, because you are going to have to keep having these same conversations, you can reference it back. You know, we discussed this, we went through this, let's talk about, you know, what we discussed and how it, and empathize, because I do feel at the end of it, it might have been very difficult for us, but the impact that this has had, the loss, and David, you alerted me to this, the loss that the kids have experienced this year is not to be underestimated, whether it's matric farewells and dances or tours or captaincies of certain sports games. It's been on every single level that these kids have suffered.
It has been, and I think we've got to be very careful, because I think, you know, we do. There's always people who are suffering more. There are always people who are in a worse position, and I think, and I certainly fall into this trap as a parent. I find myself wanting to say, but it's not as bad as people who don't have food. It's not as bad. You know, you're in a better position. And for me, yeah, that is true on a, in a theoretical way. Because again, we might have listeners going, rolling their eyes. Oh, Shane, these spoiled brats, you know, they're not going to.
Look, I definitely have used the phrase, which I know I should never have used on my kids. I'm actually embarrassed to even say it, David. I have said to them, guys, this is not the Holocaust. This is not Auschwitz. You know, they're trapped, they're imprisoned, they're, you know, and I know that's bad parenting, isn't it, David? Tell me it is. I'm mature enough to hear it.
It's a safe space, Howard. I mean, at least my 15 minutes every week is a safe space.
So you're not going to judge me for it?
No, not at all. Because we all want to do that, because we do get frustrated.
The difference is other parents want to do it, but I do it.
Yes, exactly. I didn't tell you that I'm getting, I speak to Abby every week. she phones me.
David, you don't know what my dad just said. Yeah, exactly.
You don't understand. So Abby and I are very close, and I just needed to let you know at the end of the year. But absolutely, I think for me, yes, there are people in harder positions, and there are people in more dire positions. But I do think for me, you know, a loss is a loss. And for your particular experience in your life, you know, that loss can be huge. You know, when you think about someone who's looked forward to their whole kind of schooling career to maybe play rugby for the first team or to be that lead in that play or to go on that trip, you know, has been saving up for so long. It is a huge loss. And again, so we understand that inclination to want to say, well, bugger it. Now I'm going to just let loose. Yeah. But, you know, as I say, I think for me, it's really about really trying to be collaborative and being flexible, really trying to show your teens, your children, that you really are trying to meet their need, you know. So you know what? They can come to the house, you know, maybe when you didn't like to have their friends at the house. Okay, maybe we will spend a little bit extra money to have a braai or to allow you to do more outdoor activities than we would have, to show that there is some kind of compromise and that you are really trying to put in an extra effort to help them to have a fantastic holiday, but a safe holiday.
Absolutely, absolutely fantastic. David Abramson, that's where we leave it. Certainly that's where
Howard,
I leave it.
Howard,
yes.
I wanted to say, because I know this is our last show of the year together. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, and I think on behalf of, you know, the community at large, I just wanted to really thank you. And I think also, to thank Dr. Marburg for everything that you have done for us, for the community over the last 8 months. I think, you know, you've really made, hopefully you know this, that you've made such a huge contribution to just not only giving us advice as far as like the nuts and the bolts of what we should be doing, you know, from a health point of view, but just being there. And I can't tell you how many people have told me how it's just it's a highlight of their day to just tune in and listen to you, and how it's just made this, you know, this pandemic so much easier.
David, thank you for saying that. I really do appreciate it. Very, very kind words. And I will chat to you in January.